I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
This Friday morning, 251-343-0106. We should have time for a few more texts at the conclusion of today's program, so it won't be for naught if you do send something in. Joining us now on the line, he is our returning champion. We do this every Friday, State Senator Chris Elliott. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Glad to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
Well, as the fourth guest of the program today, I led off with the same question for all our guests. We'll hit you with it. How you feel about November 5th?
I feel pretty good about it. I really do. I think Republicans tend to underpoll nationally. I think Republicans in the swing states tend to underpoll. I think you're seeing even more so than you know, Republicans nationally. I think you're seeing a level of desperation from the Harris campaign, which leads me to believe they've got some internal polling that they don't like. Why else is she sitting down for an interview on Fox News if they're not, you know, throwing everything at the wall and seeing what sticks? And I honestly just think that, you know, this just her coming out with new policies to secure black voters. I mean, if you're this close to the election and you're Kamala Harris and you don't have, you know, black men, you know, in your pocket, I mean, that doesn't work. You're in a bad spot. And so I feel reasonably good about it overall.
I'll add one more question to that, because this is sort of where we are. You and I talk about this stuff. Win or lose, if Harris is president, if Trump is president, and then 26, if Trump is president, it ought to be a Democrat midterm. If it is Harris is president, it ought to be a Republican midterm. And it's just historical precedent. I know there's exceptions, but that's the way it typically goes. What do you think that means statewide in Alabama, especially with all of these, you know, big offices, governor, lieutenant governor, AG, potentially secretary of state, depending on what West Allen does, on down the ballot? I mean, do you think there's a trickle-down effect there?
No, I don't. I mean, I don't see Alabama electing a Democrat statewide again anytime in the foreseeable future. Those races will all be decided.
In the primary. I mean, sometimes these get watered down. Maybe enthusiasm wanes. I mean, do you think it does something in the primary to change things? Because if it's an overheated Republican Tea Party type election cycle, I mean, who knows what happens where the electorate is? Everything seems to be driven by national politics. It's just my observation.
Well, I think you've got the those that turn out, right? And I guess we can call them the electorate and focus on that. And then you've got, you know, folks in general. But I think you're right. I mean, if it turns into a heated midterm cycle, then does that drive things further to the right? Yeah, maybe. But Jeff, I think people are there anyway. I know I am. I know, you know, you look through the House and the Senate and you certainly see that by and large. Does that trickle down to some other incumbents that may be a little bit more go along, get along, maybe? And you see some of those folks that pop up and want to run against an incumbent. It's just very difficult to run against an incumbent, especially somebody that's got some, you know, a committee chair, some leadership, you know, position or something like that. They're just going to have so much money that it just makes it difficult, not impossible, but difficult.
Well, it'll be fascinating to watch. Let's move on to state matters. I hate to beat this one up, but it's kind of blowing up right now. Governor putting on the call for a special meeting of the Veteran Affairs Board. How do you feel? I mean, it's a lion's share of attention to this. It's important. I don't know where it is relative to what is, you know, the most important matters of state right now, but it sure seems to be commandeering a lot of the governor's attention.
Well, make no mistake about it. The Veterans Affairs board and what they do is certainly not bottom of the list. But the attention that this governor is giving to this particular issue should absolutely be the bottom of the list of what we're talking about. I mean, this drama that seems, you know, I cannot fathom why this is something that is so important, other than she's been challenged. And this governor does not like being challenged. And if you challenge her, she will come after you and hunt you down like Golda Meir. And that is, I think, what is happening here. And I just don't know that it's healthy for the state or the veterans community to have this level of animosity on the board that's trying to go out and do good for veterans. All this stuff is about a power play, it would seem. And she's gotten what she wants, which was the resignation of the commissioner there. I think that's going to stick. Leave it alone. Let it happen and move on. There are other things, way more important things that need to happen, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, the governor is MIA on a lot of stuff right now. And, some people say, hey, what's going on here? But this is where she decides to, like, sort of focus, right? Like, 85-90% of the stuff, it's, just ribbon cuttings, and she's at the homecoming ceremony at the flagship university. She's at South Alabama the other night, and those are fine, but those are, those are sort of obligatory formalities. On this, the policy, the where it really, where you're really acting as the governor with executive authority, this is where she shows up.
Well, and to what end, right? You have, this fight between majors and generals and admirals that are all retired, trying to do good work for veterans, and you're getting in the middle of that as opposed to, I don't know, roads, education, economic development. I mean, things we really should be focused on. And it just seems awfully small ball for the governor to be personally as invested in this. And by this, again, I don't mean the work of the Veterans Affairs Department, but I mean this power play thing that's going on when you've already got a resignation in hand and it's going to take effect in a month and a half, and just wait.
Well, I don't know what to, I mean, it's just the name I always hear, Senator, and I'm not trying to get you in trouble here, but the Alta Point stuff is, I mean, is it weird that we even as I guess kind of a general news consuming public, they come up so much in these controversies?
Well, look, there are a limited number of players in the mental health space, and Alta Point is certainly one of them. And I think by and large, does a good job. I don't know that this particular issue is about a mental health service provider or not. I think this issue is more about personality and power, and the governor saying, I said you're going to do this and you're going to do it, and it didn't happen the way she wanted to, and so she's decided to come down hard and heavy. If we need to have a policy discussion about it, sure, let's have a policy discussion, but at the end of the day, that doesn't mean people need to get fired or resign or that we need to start trying to, remove board members or something like that. Let's just have a reasonable policy discussion about it and like adults and then move on. I mean, at the end of the day, she's the governor and she ought to lead on that issue. But you start taking veterans that, again, generals, admirals, colonels, and talking about whether or not you're going to remove them as board members because they don't agree with you on one thing. I don't know that that's helpful.
Joined by State Senator Chris Elliott here on the program. Senator, this is coming up a lot. I've heard conflicting things that the Big Ten mayors are, going to back an effort here to repeal permitless or constitutional carry. I look at that at face value. Okay, there's no way. You don't know what you're dealing with. The Republican supermajority. Do you think something like that really stands a chance? But I mean, some of these mayors carry a lot of clout in both of your chambers. What do you think of that? Should people be kind of have that on the radar?
I do not think that's going to happen. As a matter of fact, I'm fairly certain that there is no chance of that happening. And if the Big Ten mayors are thinking that's what they want to make their legislative priority, then they're making a mistake. We've got permitless carry in Alabama. We're going to have permitless carry in Alabama. That's not going to change. Although I did renew my permit the other day because I traveled to Florida pretty frequently. Got to have that thing for reciprocity. So just remember that.
Yeah, it just you hear this and you hear all this discussion, and now Mayor Stimson in Mobile and Mary Mercado up in Hoover deny that this is really a thing. But I mean, you've heard these mayors blame their crime problems on what you guys deal with permitless carry. It just seems to me, and tell me if I'm wrong, it seems absurd.
It is absurd. I mean, it's patently absurd. I mean, their problems are so much bigger than whether or not a law-abiding citizen has a handgun or not. These crimes are not being committed by people that have, would have, or will ever have a concealed carry license. The gun's illegal. They're criminals. 9 times out of 10, they're back out on the streets because the combination of weak DAs and weak judges have led them back out on the street. And then they commit crimes, reoffend over and over again. These are not people that go and get a permit anyway. And the conversation about, you know, permitless carry, making it easier to have an illegal weapon or have it's just nonsensical. It makes absolutely no sense. We're not changing it. It is what it is. The criminals don't follow laws. I mean, that's about as basic as it gets. And for them to think they're going to pass a law that's going to, you know, make a criminal go get a permit to carry an illegal weapon is ridiculous. That's not the source of crime problems in those cities.
Well, then there's this, and there's a little bit of chatter about the legislature getting involved and the legislature telling cities how to run their police departments. And, you know, some of your colleagues have pushed back on that. Look, you know, elections have consequences. You elected these people to run your city. Don't expect the legislature to come in and clean that up. There's still going to be that drumbeat out there. Do you expect that to be an issue this session?
I think it's something we're going to discuss. And if you look at Jackson, Mississippi, and other places where the legislature's tried to get involved, frankly, for their own safety, right? Because it's the state capital and it is a crime-ridden, you know, place, and you know, I could see something like that. But look, the state doesn't have any business necessarily getting involved in running a municipality's police department. That is the number one job of a municipality and a mayor, is public safety. And so if they've got public safety problems, can we help? Sure, we can help. Should we help? Yes, of course we should. But do we need to take over a municipal police department? No, not any more than we need to take over a school system. Now, do we do that in really, you know, abject situations that, you know, where there's just a complete and total failure? Yes. And to the extent that having a conversation about them failing is, you know, and being taken over will help incentivize them to do something, then sure, let's have that conversation. But by and large, it's not something the state should make a habit out of doing.
Last question, we're wrapping up here. West Alabama Corridor, they're making progress on the Linden Bypass. Sounds like it's going to be done, but I keep telling my audience this, that West Alabama corridor may not be completed in the way they see it in our lifetimes. I don't think there's going to be the appetite for future administrations to put 100% of, state dollars on, put that much money and without any federal matching on a project like that.
The Linden Bypass is a project that was started years and years and years ago that happens to be way in West Alabama and may one day connect to this thing called the West Alabama Corridor. But make no mistake, that's not the project that everyone's worried about sucking up all of the state money. To your point, yes, I think it is going to be a real hard pill for the next governor and for the future legislators to swallow, to realize that we're spending 100% state money on a federal road, you know, a U.S. highway in West Alabama. The opportunity cost for using that money there as opposed to using it to match, you know, 80-20 federal money is just huge. I mean, it's just orders of magnitude greater. And so, you know, I think you hear other elected officials, including, you know, Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth, talk about the need to not do the West Alabama Corridor, but the need to go find federal money to make sure that we're not paying way more for it than we need to. And so to those in West Alabama, you know, hey, you got a great project. We just got to go get some federal money on that. And I've told Mayor Day and others, that's kind of my position on it. Let's go ask for federal money, just like we have on I-10 Bridge, just like we do on every interstate, just like we do on every other U.S. highway.
Well, you said something I wasn't aware of, that the Linden Bypass was a project that was already in the works pre this whole discussion about the West Alabama Corridor. Like, why on earth would they build a Linden Bypass? I don't know if you ever grow up that way that much. I'm good for maybe a few times a year. There's no traffic on 43 going up that way to Demopolis.
Well, and you can explain to me why a little towny town like Linden wants to be bypassed to begin with and how that's good for economic development. But that's a whole different issue. But yes, this is a much older project. Project's been in the works for probably 6 years or so, and not part of the bigger part of the whole West Alabama corridor, which will still take a very long time to complete, and we'll still need funding to be allocated to it well into the next governor's administration.
Senator, we always appreciate your time. We will talk again soon.
Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right, let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. When the dealing's done. Every gambler knows.